Hi, everyone, and welcome to Futures in Languages, a podcast showcasing stories from UCF's Modern Languages and Literatures Department alumni. I'm your host, Christina Torres. Today, we'll be talking with Courtney Jorgensen, who graduated from a minor in Spanish in 2007 as part of her undergraduate, and from the MA TESOL program in summer of 2009. Thank you so much for joining us today, Courtney.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It's so nice to have a chance to talk with you. We were talking right before we started this recording that we met in passing during my semester at the English Language Institute when you were also there teaching at the English Language Institute. But it's been a minute since we've caught up, so I'm very happy to have you on our podcast episode today to talk about your experiences in our Modern Languages and Literatures department. Let's go ahead and start off with our first question, which is, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. I'm actually originally from Orlando, Florida, aka the Mouse House. So exciting.
Totally.
And I did my undergrad and grad degrees at UCF. So go Knights.
Charge on.
thanks. I pursued my undergrad at UCF in the area of political science, specifically international relations. And I was very excited to do so. And part of my degree program required me to minor in a foreign language, so any language that wasn't English. And so I chose Spanish.
So after you were, you know, required to join the Spanish minor, what did you discover about the program?
Yeah. So at first I was struggling to decide which language to choose. And I settled on Spanish because it's widely spoken here in Central Florida, throughout the state of Florida, and it's growing in popularity across the states. This would have been back in 2005. And so it's only grown in importance since then, in my opinion.
Sure.
And at first, I was a little hesitant. I wasn't quite sure what to expect from the classes. I wasn't sure what the dynamic would be like. Would the professors start speaking in Spanish and only Spanish from day one? Would I feel lonely, isolated, confused? Would I be able to keep up? And I was pleasantly surprised. I loved my Spanish course, the first one that I took, basically elementary Spanish, for lack of a better course title. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, the professor was kind and did speak some English, at least going over the syllabus. And, you know, little by little, I fell into a rhythm. I enjoyed learning a whole different set of vocabulary and grammar structures and rules in another language. I almost treated it kind of like a second math class when it came to grammar. And so that kind of like helped me plug in like pieces of the language in a way that made sense to me. And I think the thing that I really didn't realize is that when you learn another language, whether that's for a specific purpose, like Spanish for medical professions or Spanish for the sciences, like you want to be an engineer and do a project for Spanish as the language of communication, is you actually learn a lot about the culture that goes with the language. Yeah, very much goes hand in hand. And so I just felt myself like my world just started to open up and expand. And I just really enjoyed that aspect of it. And I had friends that spoke Spanish at home, like with their parents. They'd grown up here. And maybe I would be hanging out with them. And I started to like pick up words, just words at first. And I just remember thinking like, wow, this is almost like a superpower.
It really is. Language learning is a superpower. I'm so excited that you said that. And also going back to your point about how you treated it like a math class, for years now in my teacher training classes, I talked to them about grammar as the algebra of language, how you have to like move the pieces around. So that was really exciting for me. I was like, I hadn't heard someone else talk about it in math terms before. So I'm like, yes, both of us use the same terminology. This is cool.
Yeah, it just makes it a little less nebulous.
Yeah, yeah, I like that too. Just putting something concrete to it. We are balancing what we're trying to say, moving all those pieces around in those sentences.
Yeah, especially in the very beginning where it just feels very like fish out of water type deal.
That's a common feeling that folks have at the beginning, but we always encourage them to stick with it. There's a turning point if you stick with it. That's great. And what have you been up to since graduation?
Yeah, I had the opportunity to work at UCF helping with the Center for Multilingual and Multicultural Studies. That's the name of the department at that time. And so I was working with students from all over the world, including from predominantly Spanish-speaking countries. And it was during that time that I was able to use the Spanish skills I acquired from the minor at UCF and led me to eventually pursue my master's degree in teaching English to speakers of other languages. And during my time with the Spanish minor, I actually studied abroad in a small little town just outside of Madrid. And it was during that experience where I knew I wanted to do something international for sure. And I kind of left the international politics realm and started migrating over towards international education. Mm-hmm. So I would say that the Spanish minor not only gave me the opportunity to learn a language, but it actually ended up influencing the direction that my life took in general.
Mm-hmm. That's a powerful effect for a required minor that you maybe hadn't thought about before you started your undergrad.
Yeah, very much so. And that I was sort of hesitant to embark on. So yeah, you just never know.
Change that trajectory completely. Mm-hmm. You talk about how you work with international students now and folks from all over the world. Do you have any favorite stories that you like to share about your career? Maybe something like what a typical day for you is like nowadays?
Yeah, so a typical day would be 4 hours of instruction per day. So on my feet a lot, mm-hmm. talking a lot, but it's not a burden. I enjoy doing it. Mm-hmm. And I have students from all over the world. In one class, I could have maybe 9 to 11 different countries represented at once. Mm-hmm. My Spanish language skills have allowed me to help students through the process of, you know, entering the UCF environment and getting used to higher education culture here and helping them transition to English language studies, you know, because I can relate having to transition to learning Spanish. So now I'm helping Spanish speakers transition out into learning English, which I never thought, you know, when I was pursuing the minor in Spanish, that there would be any kind of relationship like this in the future.
Mm-hmm. I'd imagine that gives you a lot of empathy with your students, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of empathy. And, you know, I spend most of my day in English because that's the reason why they're here studying. But at the same time, it creates kind of a bond where I can have small moments where, you know, I'll say a couple of things in Spanish and it just kind of creates that, you know, a commonality between me and a student and just kind of lowers that effective filter.
Yeah.
Appreciate that I have the ability to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And just learning not to be, you know, overly reliant on translation. That's another thing. Like when you learn a language, sometimes you really want to show off your skills because mm-hmm. You're excited. You're like, oh, I worked so hard for this. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I've had to learn, like, you know, there's certain times that you do that and other times you don't.
Mm-hmm. That's part of what I call the teacher toolkit, is learning when to use what skill. You know, over time. But I can empathize with you with the power of, or I can appreciate the power of dropping the occasional language word here and there for students to just feel that you understand or feel that you're trying to understand their first language. There's a lot to be said about that from the instructional point of view. I used to do the same, especially in Bangladesh when everyone shared the same first language. Mm-hmm. I'd drop the occasional Bangla word in there and they'd be like, oh, teacher, mm-hmm. your pronunciation is so funny. I'm like, well, that's right. You can help me out and I'm helping you. And here we are in this lovely exchange.
It's wonderful.
It's fun. It's fun. Yeah. That was my favorite part about teaching international students here, is about mm-hmm. like having all the diversity in those classrooms. I always used to mm-hmm. refer to them as like the mini UN, where it's like representatives from all over the world. And here we are all using a common language, all getting to know each other. And I would always start off my EAP classes, especially by saying, hey, look around the room. These are your friends. These are the people who understand what you're mm-hmm. going through. These are people mm-hmm. you might be visiting in their home countries one day. Isn't that cool? And then by the time the semesters would finish, they'd be like, oh yeah, I'm going to go visit my friend over here. I'm going to go over here. And those are just such heartwarming stories to hear from our students who are all going through that experience together.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I, you know, just building a little bit off of what you just said, you know, your experience in Bangladesh, I would say that, you know, my experience in Madrid studying abroad through UCF, through their Spanish program, allowed me to actually go on to do a year abroad in Morocco. Ooh. Where I was living in Casablanca. Mm. And I think if you can study abroad, I can't recommend it enough.
I say the same. Yes. You heard it not from me. You heard it from Courtney, our guest on the podcast here. Study abroad.
Yeah. And, you know, I kind of found the whole study abroad thing, you know, a little later in my time at UCF. And what I mean by found is it's not that I didn't know it existed. I just didn't know I wanted to do it. Mm. And so I was literally about to graduate. So the only option for me was to go in the summer, and it was only for a month. And I thought, oh, like, I don't know if it's worth it. You know, I want to do the whole semester thing, but I don't want to delay my, you know, graduation date. And then I was like, stop complaining, just go. And, you know, I'm so glad I did. And I hope that if anybody out there is listening, they don't self-limit like I almost did. You know, if they don't have the perfect city that, you know, you really wanted to go to, or you thought you wanted to go to, or you can only manage a 2-week program, or you can do a whole semester, you know, whatever it is you can do, I say just go for it, because it just ends up being such a magical experience. I think it's totally worth it, even if it's not in your head as perfect as you thought it should be.
Mm-hmm. It's such an opportunity for personal growth. I always tell folks, like, if I hadn't lived abroad, I think I would be a different person. You know, like, that kind of experience is so foundational to my career trajectory and who I am now. And what I hear you saying is that Madrid and Casablanca were the same experiences for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I just can't emphasize enough that whether it's a short-term program, it's a longer-term program, there are so many options out there, and there's so many budget-friendly options out there. Mm-hmm. And there is funding available as well. So, you know, there's scholarships and things like that. So if you're, you know, out there listening, saying, hey, I really want to do this, but it feels kind of expensive for me, you know, really chase after it. There is funding available.
There is. I always tell folks, check out the free money. And many scholarships go unapplied for. I was shocked by the low number of people. The Olga Pustovalova Scholarship through the Modern Languages Department, it's funded, and very limited folks apply to this every year. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, I want to do a short-term study abroad, check out, again, the Olga Pustovalova Scholarship. I'll link it in the description below for this episode. But it never hurts to try to get free money, folks. Worst thing that can happen is they say no. Best thing is you get free money.
Absolutely. I stand by that 100%.
Absolutely. Thanks, Courtney. Now, how did you end up in Casablanca?
Yeah, that kind of came down to networking, actually. Okay. One of my colleagues had spent some time in Morocco and in Casablanca in particular, and she recommended this NGO, non-governmental organization. And I was like all about it because my undergrad was international relations. And I was like, oh my gosh, like an NGO plus it emphasizes international education. Awesome. You know, I was ready, you know, born for this. So to speak, you know, you have all these like things going through your mind. And I was pretty fresh out of grad school, ready to take on the world. Like, you know,
mentality. I remember that feeling. Yeah. You
know, yeah. 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 Just raw excitement. And so I applied and they had a spot available. And the next thing I knew, I was on a plane headed to Casablanca.
Awesome. What were some of the things that you did as your responsibilities for that NGO, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah. So it was very much on the fly. It was structured, but it wasn't structured at the same time. Enrollment was kind of unpredictable, which allowed for a lot of last minute changes and things like that. So it was a really great way to learn how to be flexible and think on your feet, drop of the hat type situations. So that was really good, I think. Yeah, but it was managing classes, community outreach was part of it, access to education for all different types of folks and things like that. It also was designed for cultural connections. It was through an NGO called Amadis, which is basically a language and cultural bridge between the MENA region, so the Middle East, North Africa. And yeah, it was really an informative year for me. And I am so glad that I did it. And I honestly can say that the Spanish minor in study abroad helped pave the way for a much easier transition for me going into Casablanca, because I already had some abroad experience under my belt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any small amount of international experience. And I tell folks, even if you can just travel a little.
Yeah.
And then that can also help you in the future when you want to live and possibly work abroad. All of that informs it. And it sounds like you had a really nice confluence of your undergrad and your grad all in one place in this NGO placement.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not the type of person that had a master plan. So I hope that if anyone out there is listening and they're thinking, wow, everything kind of like syncs up, you know, as she tells it, it definitely didn't feel like that in real time. But I will say that Spanish minor did serve a valuable role in helping me piece together, you know, different little career moves that I made that ended up being bigger career moves. So, you know, starting something back in 2005, like on a rainy January day, you know, for that elementary Spanish class, you just never know.
You never know where it leads. And when I talk to my students who come into office hours and try to and discuss professional development, I always tell them, like, everything makes sense in retrospect. You know, you make decisions one thing at a time, you know, as opportunities present themselves, and you always do the decision that you think is best for you at the time. Mm-hmm. But I also tell them to, you know, follow their heart when opportunities come, even if something feels a little bit challenging and like not a bad mm-hmm. scary, but like a challenging scary, you know, mm-hmm. obviously considering all the elements that go into it, being thoughtful and mindful mm-hmm. Of mm-hmm. the programs. But if you can challenge yourself, that's an opportunity for personal growth, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm so glad that you're helping us to share that with our listeners here. So you took part in many classes in the Modern Languages and Literatures department between your Spanish minor and your MA in mm-hmm. TESOL. Do you have mm-hmm. any stories or memorable takeaways from your time in our department classes?
I do remember my last semester there. I really became obsessed, for lack of a better word, with the word ostrich in Spanish, because to me it sounded like a little bit German. And so I took this writing class, and I always wrote about like this ostrich. It always appeared like somehow in my writings, even as like a little joke at the end or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I just remember my Spanish professor, she just like really embraced it, and she thought it was just really funny. And I know it sounds like totally kind of random and a little bit oddball, and it totally was, but I think that was hands down my favorite class from undergrad. Yeah. And it was just such a warm, inviting classroom experience. And I think it was the one class where everything finally clicked for me too. Mm. I could see the reading, and I could see it interlacing with the speaking and the listening. And it was the first time I stopped viewing Spanish as separate skills, mm-hmm. but everything that kind of like meshed and joined together. Mm-hmm. So it was just like a really kind of like special time for me. And it really clicked for me in that course. Like, and if anybody out there is listening and you feel like a little discouraged because maybe you studied in high school and it kind of felt like maybe a friend or a classmate just kind of picked up the language a little faster than you, so you feel like you don't have that language gene, you know, sometimes people talk about like a math gene, everybody will have their moment where it clicks, and maybe it'll take you like one or two classes longer than a peer, or maybe you'll be one of the first people that it clicks, you just don't know. But if you do struggle a little bit at all, just know that eventually, like, you'll have your time, and it will be worth the energy and effort that you pour into it. And it doesn't mean that you're not capable of learning a language. It might just, you know, take an extra class or two. At least it did for me. Hmm. And I don't know, just remembering to persevere through that. And I will say that a lot of the professors, you know, in my Spanish classes really help with that. They were just very encouraging. And I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. I always tell our students, we want everyone to succeed. You know, professors, mm-hmm. instructors, we want everyone to do well in the class. So if you have questions, seek us out in office hours, you know, and I'm sure that you've said the same thing to your students. If you have additional questions, come find me, come talk to us. Like, and I've not met someone who hasn't answered a question in our department yet, because, you know, that's part of why everyone's there, is to support the students. But I like that you said about not comparing yourself to others, because I think that that's such a temptation when you're in a class. But everybody learns at their own pace, and putting additional pressure on yourself to be, quote, like your neighbor in the class isn't always going to be the best choice. I like the idea of comparing to yourself of where you were at X time, and see about the journey at various times comparing to yourself. And that feels like the best way to think about progress. What would you, do you want to add to that?
No, you know, I totally agree too. And not to sort of psych yourself out when it comes to things like pronunciation. You know, maybe you're struggling with a particular sound or blend of sounds, and maybe somebody else in the class sounds almost like native, like to your ear. Mm. So then you kind of think like, oh, well, you know, maybe I'm really good at writing in Spanish, but, you know, my speaking's so bad, I don't feel comfortable speaking. So, you know, I never want to speak ever. So yeah, just, you know, like really leaning into it. And if you're feeling insecure about any aspect of the language learning process, you know, just go to office hours with your professor and say, you know, there's a presentation coming up and I feel really confident about my writing, but, you know, this presentation has me stressed out because, you know, the Spanish R, like I really struggle to roll that R. It's just really hard for me. You know, are there any pointers that you have? And so you don't have to struggle silently. You can seek out help, and the professors do want to help you through whatever you're struggling with. Just like if you struggle in a math class, you go to see the professor, you know, to solve a certain type of equation. It's kind of like the same concept with languages.
Mm-hmm. I always tell folks, it's okay to ask. You know, it's okay mm-hmm. to ask. It's okay to reach out for help. There's like a beautiful time in your life when you're a student where people almost expect you to have questions. Mm-hmm. You know, like take advantage of that time when folks expect mm-hmm. you to have questions and are very happy mm-hmm. to answer your questions, because that's the time of your life that falls into this pocket So I'm glad that you're sharing that advice with all our listeners. Yeah, just
embrace your all thou self. And if you want to write about an ostrich, just write about an ostrich. Just own it.
Do it. Yeah. Avestruces for the win, you know.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. So here we're coming to our final question, Courtney. And I'm just curious in general, you've already touched on some of this, but what advice would you offer someone who is interested in studying either Spanish or TESOL?
Yeah. So my advice would be to ask yourself what your goals are. I would try to establish short-term, mid-term, and long-term goals. For example, let's say that you want to teach English abroad, but you want to study Spanish. Why not teach English in a Spanish-speaking country?
Win-win.
Like a win-win, right? So you're combining maybe more of a short-term goal of, okay, I'm going to minor in Spanish or major. That's the other thing I would like to point out. You know, sometimes you start with a minor in a language, whatever language it is that interests you. And the next thing you know, you're declaring a double major. So that can happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But instead of thinking of it as like maybe two separate entities, how to blend them together would be my best advice. And, you know, education is a huge field. I think a lot of times people think, oh, it's I'm in a public school doing elementary, middle, high school, or I'm at a college/university, but there's so much more to it than that. You know, I mentioned the NGO that I happen to work for, but you know, you can get a job at the United Nations as well, which is an IGO, right? Mm-hmm. And that's just like the tip of the iceberg. So, you know, TESOL is teaching English to speakers of other languages, but you can be a full-time teacher like I happen to be at the moment. But you can be on the administrative side. You can do curriculum building. You can do nation building through creating educational programming in countries, whether it be your home country or overseas. So it's a really, really diverse field. And learning another language, whether it be Spanish, French, Russian, whatever that is, it can open those doors so you can work for those organizations and have the language ability to be able to make things happen for yourself. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, thank you, Courtney. That was awesome. I feel like that's where I want to leave it. I will just add very briefly that you never know where your career trajectory can lead you. But what I always encourage folks to focus on is what skills are you acquiring during your studies that can be marketable to whatever environment you wish to work in. And teacher training will actually reinforce a lot of important skills for not just teaching, but public speaking, leadership, organization, time management, like all of these things that are really applicable in a number of different settings, just like you've said.
Yeah, absolutely. And just as a final highlight coming from me, you know, I have friends that are nurses and physicians. I have friends that are engineers, and the ones that are bilingual have so many more job opportunities than those of us that are monolingual. So if you're out there listening and you're like, well, she's mentioned teaching, which I totally have, and I'm more than happy to. I have so many examples of people that work in other fields that aren't necessarily commonly associated with, oh, I want to declare a minor in a foreign language, you know, and I'm an engineer. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's new to anybody and you're out there listening, it can be totally worth it.
Thank you so much, Courtney. This has been a real pleasure catching up with you today during this podcast. We're so happy you could join us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Futures in Languages. I'd like to give a shout out to Davideo Guy for our intro and outro music, downloaded from freesound.org. I'm Christina Torres, and our featured guest today was Courtney Jorgensen. Tune in next time to hear more alumni stories from modern languages. For more information about Spanish, the MATSOL, and other language programs in the Modern Languages Department, please visit our website at mll.cah.ucf.edu.